good afternoon. I'm welcoming you to the annual USPA conference. It is the 37th conference, I think. And a couple of announcements first. Please turn off your cell phones. Recording or tape recording of any presentation is not permitted. If you're using any recording devices, phones, iPads, etc., ask to leave them out of the presentation. Your cooperation is appreciated. Thank you. That's the generic part of welcome. Doesn't everybody welcome you, but not welcome. I'm going to introduce our first speaker of the afternoon, Brian David Anderson. My name is John Klimo. I'm a board member here and have been presenting at the USPA since like 1990 or something like that. Brian David Anderson refined and completed the harmonic spiral table of the chemical elements in 1994 while renting space in the laboratory of Steve Baxter. Anderson revealed his discoveries for the first time during a presentation to the 1995 USPA conference. Further discoveries with the spiral chemical element table were revealed when Anderson lectured during the 2011 USPA conference. Anderson's 2015 lecture will review one today. Additional discoveries he's made since the 2011 conference that have a direct impact on the fields of subtle energy research and psychotronics. Anderson will also detail his other discoveries called the Tri-Vibes. Brian's topic for this afternoon is Tri-Vortex technology, the cutting edge of subtle energy applications. Please give a warm welcome to our speaker, Brian David Anderson.
Thank you. Let's see if I can get this off. Okay. Yesterday, Richard Allen Miller and I went to eat at a Korean restaurant. That was his first time he'd ever eaten there. And we had some to-go type of material we had to take with us. And as I'm packing it up, a big splash came over and just soaked my very important suit. And so Richard and I both know that if you immediately put water on, it will then take out many stains. So I did that, but then I'm also very aware that if you use distilled water and also you add then to that the Tri-Vortex disc, which we will discuss now, is that that will also take out stains really, really well. So then we were in search of distilled water. We went over to Target, I picked up the distilled water, we returned to the hotel, and I discovered that my wallet and my phone were still in the basket. So I packed back up in the car, and now I'm in a big rush to go get my wallet and my cell phone. I started breathing. I am the belief that the major chakra of the human body is the heart. So I started working with my heart chakra, and I moved it down to my solar plexus chakra, which all has to do with protecting the body. So then I visualized with my third eye that I saw protection around my wallet and my cell phone. And I'm going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, but so finally got there, stopped the car, went and looked. There was a where I put the cart, there was one rack, and now there were four racks behind it, which means there was four opportunities. I looked down, and I now have the cart. I'm looking down, and there is no wallet. There is nothing there. And of course, now panic, and I'm gripping this cart. And as I'm doing so, I hear a voice. Is your name Brian? Yes. And she goes, oh, well, your wallet and cell phone is in the lost and found at Target. And I said, you are my solar plexus angel. And she goes, no, my name is Pat. So then I walked into the counter, And then I said, well, but, you know, I'm still talking with the lady there. And I said, well, you know my name. And I said, can I give you a big hug? And so I gave her a big hug. And then I was saying thank you. And I kissed her hand and everything and said thank you. And I walked into the counter. And the as I walked to the counter, the guy said, here you go. And I said, well, how did you know it was me? And he goes, well, you know, you were carrying on with the lady in the parking lot. I knew it had to be you. So then my wife, Linda, will appreciate this one, is that then Ellen Gimby and I went to Whole Foods, and I was telling her about this. We packed up and went over to Whole Foods. Then as we're leaving Whole Foods, she said, where's your wallet? Where's your cell phone? I don't need this drama. So again, for me, it's a demonstration, again, of for me, it's always been the heart chakra is the center of everything. You know, it was a standard joke that was very old. Some of you may have heard it, but it was when the brain and the third eye chakra got an argument with the rectum and the base chakra. And they said, who's in charge? And so they went back and forth. So finally the rectum and the root chakra just shut down. And the solar plexus and everybody's just going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so finally they were telling the brain and the third eye, would you just give it up? So finally the same brain, okay, you're in charge. So now the moral of this story, the standard way that it always ends, is that you don't have to be smart to be in charge, just be an asshole. So there is another alteration that I like of this story, though, is I made it up myself, is that what happened then actually is when the two got in the argument, the heart asked the brain, well, what's your problem? He said, I want to be recognized for being analytical and running, you know, sort of like, you know, figuring everything out. He said, okay, well, would you do it with love? And he said, well, okay. And then he got with the root and said the same thing. Well, I want to have my power. Well, would you do it with some love? Yes. And so basically the solution came through the heart, which is two things, love, and it's also its opposite of grief. When you're able to grieve, then you're able to love. When you're able to love, you're able to grieve. So I'm very much into the whole thing about heart chakra being the real center. We put so much emphasis now on the third eye and the brain, when in actuality, it's the heart that's everywhere. Is that basically Alzheimer's is a deprivation of oxygen. There's some sort of problem with the heart. Anybody that shows me has Alzheimer's, they probably also have some sort of heart problem. So we have today a lot of physicists, what I consider into the more of the brain type of thing. We also have then our leadership that is more into root. And so basically now is, whenever you think about Trivortex technology and it comes across your awareness, what I would like to do is have you think about and project the energy from your heart towards Trivortex. And the same thing though, what's very, very important is you then bring, like a suction, the heart of what we're looking also of Trivortex technology is based upon the heart chakra, to have that exchange between the two. I believe that is where, if we're dealing with this whole new world order, that is really truly when we have the humanity to come from our heart and we bring together all of this persons that are into their root for the power and the other ones that are so intellectual they cannot get into their heart. So that is the basis and the foundation of Trivortex technology. The Trivortex technology started off where I discovered a chemistry book in Cleve Baxter's laboratory. And it was dated in 1901 for doctors, dentists, and nurses. And it had the table of elements on a spiral with 20 radial lines. And in 1900, this table was not completed because not many of the chemical elements had not been discovered. As far as I know, I am the very first person to then finish off this table. It was also had the assistance of Annie Besant and Charles Leadbeater. They did clairvoyant observations of the chemical elements, and they discovered there was actually 96 basic chemical elements. That's very, very important, not 92. So when you take a 96 and you divide it into 360, that's the whole basis of the value of pi. So 96 made a whole lot more sense. Oops, they were going backwards. Okay, so now this is now the finished table of the chemical elements, which is interesting. I brought a 11 by 16 poster that I put into my suitcase, my large suitcase, and it was right on top. And when I got here to, when I unloaded everything here in the hotel, I had seen that my suitcase had been opened and it had been rifled through and my chart was gone. So somebody in TSA or luggage, somehow it's a real hot commodity right now is my chart. So again, we have now everything about harmonics for the table. As we see here, lithium, potassium, sodium, copper, everything is all harmonic. And so now we have the lanthanide type of group of table. And this is when I first started off working with the table. I called up, as I'm a journalist by training. I went to University of Missouri School of Journalism. And so when I approached chemistry, I did so as a journalist. So I had no type of restrictions. I've never taken the best I've ever done in any type of science was basic stuff in high school and university. And I never took any type of chemistry. But I started calling up the various teaching assistants and professors and et cetera, and I asked, why is the lanthanide group broken off? Everybody gave me a different answer. So that gave me then the whole freedom to start to work on this table. That's the basis of it. So when I then put this also in a different type of manner, basically I took the lanthanide group and put it back into their proper position. And what happened then is there are four holes in the table. And this is exactly where Annie Besant and Charles Leadbeater had seen chemical elements. So they had also verified that. Okay, somehow I'm going backwards. Okay, then one of the major things that came across in my life at the same time, or a little bit before that, is I came across the work of Pat Flanagan with crystal energy. You would add a couple of drops to water and it would structure the water, and I did some testings with it with flowers and that type of thing. And I was very impressed with it. But it was very expensive, $19-$20 for this little bitty bottle. It would only last you maybe 2 weeks. So my initial thing that I wanted to start off with Trivortex was to create a non-chemical type of way of structuring water. That was the very first thing that Trivortex was based upon. I achieved that and have now gone far beyond anything that I ever imagined when I first started off. And again, we're doing here the flower tests I was telling about. We've now repeated this one. This test was actually not done with crystal energy. It was actually done with the early versions of Trivortex technology. At this same time, I was exposed to the Qi lamp. And this is a series of minerals minerals that are put on a plate, and it's iron oxides. And they put a heat on it, and basically then the plate, though, however, will give out. And so that was also another influence of my research was this Qi lamp, and basically iron oxides. And so they had the iron oxide plate, and it's an electroheating element. It creates molecular structure and improves the smell and taste of liquids and provides pain relief. And it's all, again, with iron oxides. And then I came up with an idea where I put a signal through a iron oxide. And as the signal came out of it, then we had all sorts of different types of things happen that way. This was what's called the multitrans. Again, I developed this in Cleve Baxter's laboratory. It worked very well. And then I went from high voltage to a frequency. And this had a frequency generator that I put the frequency through, then it went through iron oxides. When it came out, you couldn't measure it, but it provided all these neat things of pain relief, structured water, etc. And so this was then what's called the multitrans. I sold this out to a company called SeaSilver. They were supposed to provide me a laboratory by selling this out to them because they had a drink that actually tasted very horrible. And when they used my technology, it actually improved the taste tremendously. They took my technology, but never followed through on the promise of providing me a laboratory, so I just walked away from it, and I could no longer use this because I sold it. Then that's when I found the table of elements in chemistry and started doing it non-chemically. And again, we were doing the flower tests, and now what's interesting about this is what's the value of really good water? And again, Crystal Energy, you put the drops in the water. Here, Multitrans was doing water. This is the caves in the Big Island of Hawaii. And they're made from a combination of basalt and also iron oxides. And it's made all through the, from volcanoes. This is what it's all developed from. And there is Linda. We were going through a special type of tour in the south point of the Big Island of Hawaii. And we came across then, digress here then, also now we talk about, we're going to come back to the caves, but the reason being is we talk about the distillation system. Understand that our whole entire existence is on distilled water. The entire atmosphere is nothing but a huge distiller. But the difference between the distiller that humans do and the distiller that nature does is when that drop falls on your car hood, it spreads out. It has a low surface tension. When it comes from a distiller, it beads up, which means it can't hold itself together. It has no coherency. And so when that distilled water comes into your body, it actually wants to pull minerals out to organize itself. So distilled water can be the very best or it can be the very worst. And again, the distiller does not know either way. So now here is, again, we're going back to the caves. And here is a tree root. We're 200 feet underground. And here is a tree root coming down. So we have all of this volatile type of happening. And yet, here's this tree root coming down. And the reason being is that distilled water coming from the clouds would then flow through all of this basalt and especially the magnetite and the iron oxides. And then what was very interesting about this is that the individuals in Hawaii started collecting this water. And supposedly only the elite and the, I'm going to say the big kahunas would drink this water. And so again, what we have here is the comparison. The iron oxides in this volcano were being crushed. It had pressure put on them. The plate or the qi lamp had heat. And then with the multitrans and also the iron oxides, we then had a frequency. It all has to do with iron oxides. You do either pressure, you do heat, or you do some sort of frequency, or you do a high voltage, and you put it through the iron oxides, and there is something that's really special. It structures water. So I was then looking at, they were telling me about the water, and I kind of got ahead of myself here first, but she said, yeah, they were drinking the water. And I said, well, wait a minute now. This was basically distilled pure water they're drinking. The persons who were drinking this water had maximum hydration, maximum blood flow, maximum strength of electromagnetic fields in their body, and they had maximum neural activity in their nervous system. These people were faster, they were more intelligent, they were also balanced in their chakras because of that. And so those who drank the distilled water for generations are stronger, faster, had a higher intelligence, and far more motivated than the rest of the group. I'll still never forget the lady who was taking us on this personal tour, and she looked at me and she goes, yeah, you're right. We never really has ever put the two connections together because all the mucky mucks drank this water. And I found out now just recently within the last 2 weeks that all the mucky mucks actually lived in the northern part, and they would go down to the southern part, collect the water, which means is probably still some of those people that were supposed to take it back to the elite, they were also siphoning off some themselves. Because then there is a whole book about how the rugged people of the Big Island, how they differentiated from everyone else in the whole South Pacific, how they were so, here you had all these common characteristics throughout the whole South Pacific, and yet these people were very, very distinctly different. And it was basically, I was one of the first ones to point out that it had to have been, one of the factors had to have been is the water. So as soon as the Europeans started showing up, one of the greatest things, tragedies that happened is they stopped collecting this water and drinking it. So the question being is now, do you have to go all the way to Hawaii to get a good water? And that's where Trivortex technology, we now have it's truly what's called the subtle energy. And the background on that, this is the various generations that have gone through for Trivortex technology. And each one of these things will structure water, provide pain relief, and et cetera. And now this is the latest form of Trivortex technology. And again, it's a very simple type of thing. It goes into a treatment chamber, which we're going to review here. This is Anton Unger in South Africa, in Cape Town, South Africa. And he built a chamber in South Africa based upon my recommendations. He has a whole other product line of Trivortex, different from mine. The reason why I built that down in South Africa is when I was first doing the treatment chambers, we would take an object that would be put inside the chamber and you would take it south of the equator and it wouldn't work. You brought it back over the north of the equator and it started working again. And so I said, well, let's just go ahead and build a chamber down there and see if the reverse happens. Well, between the time that he then started building his chamber, I figured out what the problem was. And so then he's a very successful businessman with other things. And so he then became basically another type of distributor of Trivortex and also a very big supporter. And again, we're looking here at that has domes on both sides. It has a computer that goes into amplifiers. And then there's also graphics that are on both sides. And anything that goes into this chamber for 10 minutes or for 24 hours has all of these very unique type of characteristics. And again, he built some chambers where you actually could lay inside of them. I've never built that here in the United States. And there is Brother Hani. And so now we have the large chamber. Again, what we can do here with the disc is put it on a glass of wine. And that was one of the things that with Cleve Baxter is that I had just was coming out of my, I had just discovered with the iron oxides. And I went to his laboratory and I said, hey, I got this great type of technology where you can drink all the wine you want. And then basically then as long as you're drinking water and it's all changed, that you barely have any type of hangover whatsoever. And he said, oh, you're sitting there talking, okay. And so he said, well, why don't you come back Saturday night? Well, when I came back Saturday night, he had two big, huge jugs of the 750 liter Chardonnay. So in the name of science, we drank that wine. And so the next day, I called him up and I said, you know, how you feeling? And he said, I didn't tell you everything. He said, I'm actually allergic to wine. And he said, I wanted to see what was happening. He said, I feel great. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, you know, how can I help? And I said, well, I need some lab space. And I said, maybe, you know, a couple months. And that turned out to be in then 15 years in the laboratory of Cleve Baxter. So again, you can have discs. I sell rings that go with it. You can put it on your finger. And all basically it takes then is to place the liquid, whatever, on the plate, and basically it takes anywhere between 30 seconds to 3 minutes to then make any type of changes. Why is this so important? Why is this a taste change where it gets softer and more, absorbent? Why is it so important? Here we have, now this test was done in Australia by a distributor in Australia, and we have carrot tops. As you can see here, day 1, day 3, day 8, and by day 16, and this was done with distilled water, and as you can see here, by day 16, the carrot tops with the disc are totally growing, huge, big, etc., and then the carrot tops are totally flat in the distilled water. Why? Because distilled water will, again, pull the minerals out because it wants to have that type of structure. But if the water is already structured, then all you're having is pure water hydration. So again, we also did laboratory tests by using discs with the blood tests. And as you can see here, the difference between the two, one trivortex treated and one not, the clumping that happens in the below slide and basically the coherency that happens on the top. And again, all these tests have been repeated numerous times by other people. We had a lot of people that they hear about it, they'll do their own testing, and they become a distributor. So again, we also did it with artificial insemination with cattle. We treated the sperm. So we looked at the difference between untreated and treated sperm. And lo and behold, they had a higher fertility rate with the treated sperm. So there's multiple uses of Trivortech technology disc. I'm 62 years old. I play full court basketball with 20-year-olds. I walk what I talk. Well, I also run, too. And so I take the disc and basically then throw it into a bathtub after I play my basketball. I put a little bit of salt in and soak for 20, 30 minutes. And even though I'm the inventor of this, I am still amazed every time I come out of the tub. There is no pain. All the soreness and everything is gone. So it has, again, that's one use you can do it. You can put it on your refrigerator and treat everything in your refrigerator. You can do your own little testings on that. I have the thing on the brochure on the at the table to how to describe how to do that. You can put it on your wash machine and reduce your clothes soap. I have now several people in California and also Florida that do swimming pool maintenance. They throw this in the basket and they can reduce their chemicals by 1/3. So it's there's many, many uses for the Trivortex disc. And I always get new things all the time. My mother, her best friend had a ovary. They did a mechanical robot operation. And they came in and she had, they gave her some Vicodin as a prescription. She had already been using the disc. She did not fill her prescription. She just strictly put the Trivortex disc directly on the area, and no pain whatsoever. She totally recovered without any pain. Her doctor could not understand what she was doing, and she just didn't even attempt. She said, "I don't have any pain," but she decided I didn't even fill the prescription. That is one of many, many, many stories that we've had now over the years. So the Trivortex disc, and I also have to say, too, I meant to say, is that why is it so important about what we're doing with plants? Understand that the chemical elements in all cells of humans, animals, and plants are all the same. We all have the same chemical elements of any other biological entity. It's all having to do with structure and how those molecules and chemical elements are put together. So if we are doing, we're making a change in a plant, we know we can then extrapolate and say it's also going to help other biological life forms. So again, that's what the importance is that it's a crossover type of thing. So now we get back to the table of elements and the chemistry. What we're looking at here is a complete type of harmonics. And I was then looking for a geometric shape that would be universal, that you basically could do variations of the theme. That's where, again, I have a very major disagreement with a lot of the way they do algebra and et cetera. It's still correct, but it's a long way of getting there. I believe that by just simple math, adding, subtracting, dividing, and using simple geometric forms, is the way that nature does it. Does nature know algebra? How can it know algebra? It can only go down to the really, really, really basics. And to me, the basics is geometry and simple geometry, not trigonometry, but simple geometry. And this was so much demonstrated. Oops, let's do it again here. Doop, boom. the Great Pyramid in Egypt. They discovered that the walls are slightly indented. That is the only pyramid in all of Egypt, and in fact anywhere in the world, that actually has its walls slightly indented. Very, very important, because it basically turns everything into a prism. Bill Shule and Ed Pettit did some laser beam tests, and they put a front-sided mirror in a scale model, and they then bounced it around on this front, the laser beam around on the front-sided mirror. And when they first did it, the walls were flat. They were not indented in. And the laser beam went nowhere. They then said, this is the actual test itself. And so basically what happened then is that when they started pushing the walls in, the laser beam then, the mirror shifted, and where did the beam go right into? The King's Chamber area. So it's a prism. And that's very important, is that, again, simple type of shapes that work in prism type of manners. And so Lab 1, there's no such thing as a King's Chamber, that's so ridiculous, I've been there, that was a laboratory, period. They were doing probably transmutation of gold, they were taking probably kelp and turning it into gold. That's why there was so much gold in Egypt, is because they were transmuting kelp into gold, iodine into gold. And is the prism has a wide range of electromagnetic wavelengths. And again, I was the very first person that I know of that actually did an analysis of the Great Pyramid with a program called AutoCAD. Again, I don't know the higher math, so what I did is I had to make it very, very simple. And by simple, I just made it through AutoCAD. I know just enough AutoCAD to be dangerous. And so I then started working out is that you have a 756-foot base. And according to all now calculations, it's a 51 to 52 degree angle. According to AutoCAD, is that when you put these angles together, the maximum height the pyramid can be is 441 feet. And anybody who knows AutoCAD can duplicate this very easily. So what I was then contention is that there had to have been something else in the to bring that up to 483 feet. There was a discrepancy of 40 feet. Here it was 441 feet. They estimated the actual height being 483 feet. So basically what I did then is put a 432-foot with an 80-degree angle and a three-sided pyramid inside. And so basically then it would normally poke out, but what they did is they just lobbed it off the top. And so you have a three-sided pyramid inside of a four-sided pyramid. And again, you also have the walls indented. What I really feel that they actually did, though, what the Egyptians, or not the Egyptians, but pre that, it was basically 10,000 years ago when they were actually built. You had a 756-foot base. They actually brought the angle out to 54 degrees. And they did that with limestone. If you can imagine, those pyramids were covered in a polished limestone with a gold capstone. How magnificent that was. But then they took off the limestone to build Cairo when earthquakes occurred. So for what I'm concerned is that it was actually a 54-degree angle that they were dealing with. And then when you do that, the index of the height equals out to 5.73.75, which is interesting. Now you have these nines that always come out. 756-foot base, 9. Totals out to a 9. 54, 9. Your index is a 9. The Egyptians did everything based upon nines. And that means that then the 54 degrees had to have been the angle. This is now, and the three-sided pyramid, is the basis of Tri-Vortex technology. My distilled water in a stainless steel container. And degassed. And so this is now the basis of Trivortex technology. What I did then is I first then used my AutoCAD and I printed out these three-sided and four-sided pyramids put together, and I put them all on one page. Got my glass of juice, got my glass of wine, put it over the pieces of paper, and nothing happened. I found that there is a pattern, a very specific type of pattern, and it ended up that there was a stack of papers pretty much almost an inch thick, and it was all spread out over those papers. Got my glass of juice, got my glass of wine, put it over there, and lo and behold, it changed the taste. There was structuring taking place simply by these pieces of paper. Then that was the beginnings of it. Then I found out if I put a dome over the top of it, it actually made it stronger, all different types of things. So again, the Bill Shule and Ed Pettit is that basically we're using the reflection of coming inside. And so we have the Queen's Chamber was actually the center of the three-sided pyramid. The King's Chamber is the center of the four-sided pyramid. And that's what I work all of this into Trivortex technology, both in graphics and also, we'll see here, at audio signals. I also believe, having looked and been at the Great Pyramid, is there most likely has to be a five-sided pyramid underneath. And now you have 3, 4, and 5 all working together. Then I started, after I did my basic types of triangles and squares and etc., I then branched out for a few years, and I, based upon all of these geometrics of the Great Pyramids and all these graphics you're going to see right now are all based upon that. And if you were to take a glass of juice or wine and put it on this screen, not on the projection, but put it over here on the screen, it will change its taste. So all of these will also work. And I went off on a limb for a while. I got in all this complex, but I still always came back to 3, 4, and 5. And that's what basically, again, Trivortex is all based upon. But you're going to see here now a little bit more complex type of graphics, and it all work. They will all change structure of water. They will take away pain, but you have to also print them out in a specific type of manner. They cannot go on one piece of paper. And again, now this is the spirals also. This is all, again, based upon. This is the way I really feel it happens at the molecular level. And at, we're going to say, the atomic level. These are the patterns that we're actually seeing. They cannot see them right now under microscopes, but I believe that one day they're going to find spirals at the real crux level. I don't want to say atomic, but at the real crux level of who we are and what we are, it's all spirals. Spirals of electromagnetic energy. So, also now is that after I was doing this particular type of graphics and everything, at the same time, there was a thing called Cool Edit Pro that came out, and there was also then it became Adobe Audition. And before that time, signal generators were very, very crude. You had no control over the phase nor the amplitude. And when they came out with this new type of computer driven, you had complete control over all of the phases and also the amplitudes, which are very, very important. And so I then took the values that I was doing with my AutoCAD and I put them, I had to do some adjustments, but I put them into the sounds of with the amplitudes and the phases, and I then got my speakers out, and they were all audio signals, and I put wine out there, and Cleve and I had another test to do. And so in the name of wine, or name of science, we drank that wine also, And basically, though, again, it was now an audio signal that was just simply changing the taste of the wine and improving it. Then one day, I don't know how it happened. I'm still trying to figure it out. I still don't know to this day. Somehow the speaker wires became disconnected from the wire that was coming down out of the amplifier. It actually worked better than when I had the audio signals. The audio signals actually were interfering. So then that then said, well, okay, it makes sense because we are electromagnetic. We couldn't hear all this stuff. We'd go crazy. So it has to be an electromagnetic spectrum above us. And what I figured out now is that our real reality happens between 2,500 to 5,000 hertz. That's our dimension. That's where we really, all of our chemical elements are made within those frequencies. And basically, again, now we have total control over everything. Now, Anton Unger out of South Africa, when we went to go put all these frequencies together, we would say, okay, we want to go from this phase over here. We want to then put this frequency. We want to put this amplitude. And we're constantly changing it. I mean, it's happening seconds at a time. And you're basically then rotating. And to do this, it would take a crew of 100 people working 24 hours a day to do it in the manual type of way that was done. We found a computer genius in South Africa, and he was able to put all this in an automatic type of mode. And so this program here is the only program in the world that exists that can actually then take all of these frequencies. If I say I want to go to this frequency and I want to do all of these type of changes and I want to put this in between the two, it will do it in a matter of minutes. What it used to be now would have taken manually for hundreds and hundreds of hours. So this is the only, as far as I know, there's nobody else in the world that has this particular type of program that can now put all these frequencies, and especially in a coherent type of manner. And so I wrote a book about water. It's called Superhydrate and Charge Your Cells. It is on the TriVortex website. It's a free PDF. And so I have some very strong opinions about water. I believe distilled is either the very best or the very worst, and I make my case about that. So distilled water with coherent molecular structure, I give 10 of them. And as you see at the top here, it's distilled water with coherent molecular structure is the very best water. At the bottom is distilled water with molecular chaos. And all the other waters are in between. And we've also proven this out by, again, a lot of flower tests and by other plant tests and et cetera. And again, the tests that we've done over the years. Three conditions for maximum water hydration and absorption are, if we can get this moving, coherent molecular structure is the most important thing. That's what TriVortex does, is to bring structure. The next thing you need is purity. You only need oxygen and hydrogen. That's why distilled water. And number three, you have a balanced pH. Understand that distilled water is permeable. So that when that water, distilled water, especially when it's structured and it comes into your body, that basically what happens is the pH then rises in distilled water to your level. And what's very important, rather than all these alkaline waters that force you into a level that may not be your own, it may be too low, it may be too high. The beautiful thing about distilled water that has coherent molecular structure and is pure is that it's going to go to your pH level. And understand this, if you are dehydrated, you're going to be acid. If you are properly hydrated, you're normally going to be alkaline. You can't be dehydrated and be alkaline. And the reverse is, you can't be hydrated and be acid. So it all has to do with levels. And so people ask me, they say, well, how much water should we drink? What I always have, and I didn't come up with this, it's a rule of thumb, is that you, when you look into the toilet, your urine should be just a slight yellow. If it's dark yellow, you're dehydrated. If you're a vegetarian or a vegan, it's okay for you to have clear water. But if you're basically you're fish eating or you're meat eating or something like that, then having that slight yellow is very important. And for me to maintain that level, it's going to be different from all of you in this room. Everybody is going to have their own individual type of level that, to keep that urine at that light yellow. And so I feel very strongly that the 95% of all diseases have an underlying dehydration to them. 15 years ago, when I was still doing the multi-trans, the small little white box, a dentist gave me a call from Florida. I have pancreatic cancer. His tumor went from 5 millimeters all the way up to 25 millimeters. It was a pretty good tumor. And he said, if that was you, what would you do? I said, well, one of the first things that I would do is to buy the distilled water. I would degas it. That's very important. It's if you're buying water that's from the store, you need to degas it, put it into some sort of stainless steel or glass container, let it degas. And then when I wake up, I told him, if I were you, I would wake up in the morning and I would then drink a quart of water, a quart of distilled water. He said, well, wait a minute. He said, I'm drinking enough water. And I said, bottled water, right? And I go, he goes, yeah. And I said, that's part of your problem. I said, there's a lot of degassing that's occurring in that water, which is contributing to your pancreatic cancer. You need to have the water pure. So a couple of days later, and I said, also, another thing I said, is I do two things. I would hydrate, drink that quart of water in the morning, then I would have 3/4 of a gallon, anywhere between 1/2 to 3 gallons the rest of the day. His whole thing about the color of the urine was out the window because you really need to flush him. And so I said, you know, get a flush. And I said, the next thing I would do is go to a psychologist or some sort of worker of some sort where you can look at the underlying issues. What are the issues in your tissues? What is the biography of your biology? So I didn't come up with either one of those, but it really does apply. Is that so 2 days later, he gave me a call. And he said, well, I call all over the world. And he said, yours is the most simplest. I'm going to try yours first. So we then started the regime. Because he was a dentist, he was able to push the doctors, and he got CAT scans a lot more often than the normal person would get. And so here it was. Boom, 25 millimeters, 20, 15. We're counting down over the at 45 days, 2 millimeters. Before, he had all the symptoms of pancreatic cancer. He was jaundiced. And so at the end of that 45 days, he was back playing tennis and doing absolutely fantastic. However, he had promised his wife and the doctor, if the tumor had not been totally gone, then he would have this Whipple operation, which is basically it's a butchery. They go in and take out part of the duodenum, the stomach, and they also take out part of the tumor. And so I said, can we give this a little bit longer time? And he said, no. He said, I promised. And he said, promise is a promise. So they went in and did they pulled it out, and lo and behold, the tumor that they pulled out was benign. And he died from the surgery. So a zero pH of structured water, or there's also a different way of also looking at scientifically, will adjust normally. I put zero because it's most understood, because then there's actually a truer level that scientifics use. But I just say zero pH level, and will adjust a normal healthy alkaline level, and shift acid pH level to individual's normal alkaline level. Dehydration is the principal cause of acid pH levels in the human body. Acid pH levels cannot exist in a properly hydrated body, period. All right, so let's start with you. So the Trivortex disc, $75, 65 here at the show, and has all of these very unique type of characteristics. And it was the real foundation and basis of Trivortex technology. And what about distillers? Myself, I have not found a distiller yet that isn't a pain in the butt to clean. So that's why I do it with 5 gallon jugs or 1 gallon jugs I'll buy at either Target or Whole Foods or whatever, and I put them into stainless steel. I bought a Berkey filter, I bought some brewery types of things, and degassed from there. So it's very difficult for, I've not found one yet that's difficult for maintenance. We just now came across one, supposedly it's like $2,000 or $3,000, and it's, they claim that it's self-cleaning and it's supposed to last for like 10 years as a self-cleaning type of unit. So I'm going to be investigating that. This one here is also really good, is it works on a stovetop or a campfire or whatever. So that would also be a great thing for survival. This is what I have at home. I have two beer brewing, was on the left, and I have the Berkey filter in the center. I've already treated in the Tri-Vortex chamber the spigots. So basically then I just put it on there. They're broken the top. They spend 24 hours to degas. And then once you have that water, it is absolutely some of the best tasting water in the world. People say that once they make the changeover, that you can immediately, after your taste buds and your cells start getting used to this hydrating this distilled water, any other type of water that you take, you immediately react to. So and that immediate reaction is telling you, my body can't absorb this. So that's what the thing is that, and wine also, that's what they're doing. They're aging wine so it has better molecular structure. And so when we have an after bite on any type of food or drink, it will also, that means that our bodies are going to have to work to then change it around. And by the age of 30, we've mostly lost that ability to do any of those changes. So the key thing then is to then change the water before we're actually drinking it. So again, our distillers. This is another one I came up with myself. We're trying to work on it right now. It's a low temperature distiller. And basically the purity levels on this would be almost nothing. There would be absolutely one of the purest water that's on the planet. So now also, in 1984, I did underwater television productions. It was one of my previous lives also, as I did the very first underwater housings for broadcast video cameras. And I was doing the 1984 Olympics, and a catamaran went by me and it lifted up his pontoon, and I was in the water, and the thing went right across my camera lens, and it ended up being one of the best shots of the 84 Olympics. They kept using it constantly all the time. That same pilot then said, let's go do some more demonstrations. And so we went off into another bay and started doing just some commercial type shots. And we forgot about that the dagger board, as the dagger board came up and I was going here, we forgot about the bottom dagger board. And the bottom dagger board caught me in the left knee or right knee. I already had a bad knee from high school basketball. And so I thought I lost my leg. And I finally recovered. And now we're talking around 2006, 2007. This is 1984. It's what, you know, 20 years later. My knee where I got cracked was really, really giving me problems. And my Tri-Vortex was not working. And so I started doing the research, and I found out that the substance between the bone and the cartilage is called hyaluronic acid. And could it have been that when I took this blow, that I was also now basically depleted in that hyaluronic acid? So I started doing an experiment, and what I did is I was the first person then to experience what I call now light particle assimilation. And basically how this works is that the basis of light particle assimilation is that traditional scientists in the late 1990s discovered that every human, animal, and plant cell is covered with a phosphorus-based sheath. Very, very important, which means the only thing that can come through are light particles. That's it, nothing else. So what I did is I took this tablet of hyaluronic acid and I put it on my knee right where it was hurting. Left it there for 24 hours. Of course, it didn't do a thing. I took that same tablet, put it in the Tri-Vortex chamber, and after 24 hours, brought it back out, and within minutes, I was having all different types of relief. And ever since then, it has never bothered me. And then I said, well, okay, what happens now? I was putting it directly on my knee. So then I took some of the hyaluronic acid and I put it in a little baggie and I started wearing it over my heart. I thought, well, maybe, is this light particle assimilation? Is this where it's a buildup, possibly, in the electromagnetic fields? And then basically the cell will put off what it needs. So I started wearing this on my chest. Then after about 20, 30 days, I took the tablet off my leg. And again, I've never had any problems again with that leg ever since then. I was the very first person then to experience this light particle assimilation, where literally the light particles are being excited by the chamber and they pass right through this phosphorus sheath. And that's why distilled water is so important, is because there's only hydrogen and oxygen. It can pass right through to the cell. Which is interesting then is, consider this, is the only thing that goes through the cell wall are light particles. That means that those chemical elements are being reassembled on the other side of the cell. And so there's a reality, there's inside the cell is a whole different reality of outside the cell. We have two different realities. And they also need to be balanced. So it also not only assimilating light particles, but also ejecting the waste light particles. That's just as important. And we have an imbalance in that phosphorus sheath. And again, it's to me, the phosphorus is, and this, we're going to discuss a little bit more about phosphorus when we talk about Cleve Baxter, because that actually was his true contribution to the world was basically we proved that phosphorus is one of the most important chemical elements on the any type of biological planet. So again, the transfer of assimilation of light particles, vitamins, minerals, and nutrients and chemical elements all have to pass through. The only materials that pass through the phosphorus sheath are the light particles. And so basically the nervous system is also covered in phosphorus. Your DNA is mostly phosphorus. It has a few other chemical elements. When you take phosphorus and you isolate it all by itself, it makes a hissing noise and disappears from this dimension. So it's all about oxygen and other types of chemical elements to compound with to stay in this dimension. And that's basically who we are. We're light particle beings. And in our nitty-gritty, down to the nitty-gritty, mechanics has to do with phosphorus. And I'm not the only one saying this. Go look in the literature, type it into any internet engine, and you'll find now traditional scientists are saying phosphorus is one of the most important chemical elements. Think about it. Mars has none. Mars has no phosphorus. That's why it's so barren. Okay, so basically, then we started putting in vitamins and nutrients inside of here. Other ones, through a series of events, we ended up, it was almost like a mistake, but we ended up, one of my customers went in for a blood test, and it was called SpectraCell. They take a little bit of blood, and they grow your vitamins and nutrients, and they can tell you what your levels are. It was very controversial. Now it is not. It's mostly been accepted. And so she went in, and she was now recovering from cancer, not anything from Trivortex. And so they did the tests on her, and SpectraCell called up the doctor and said, you got to pull this person in because they're probably taking too many oral, especially minerals. Their mineral levels are just off the charts here. And so the doctor pulls in my distributor and says, you know, start shaking the finger, say, you got to stop taking all these minerals and vitamins. And my distributor goes, but I've never taken a vitamin ever in my life, but I'm wearing this. And so then we went, that then led to a whole other thing. I met a medical doctor at Hippocrates. I worked at Hippocrates for a while, and I met a very progressive medical doctor. He is now my business partner, and he then did the first clinical trial with the Tri-Vibes. We gave 10 people a placebo. We gave 10 people the real thing. Then we took blood tests, And then 40 days later, we did a second blood test. Understand that the SpectraCell, what they recommend is if you're ever starting some sort of vitamin regime orally, is that it usually takes about 6 months for you to come up and bring your levels up. And we were doing these levels in 40 days. The placebo group was now way down in their, some of their stuff, and yet at the same time, the now this group that was wearing it, they all went to almost either just below being the deficient or being totally sufficient. And that is rare. Okay. So basically, if you have any more questions about Trivortex and about, I was given the signal we're done here, is that we're now having a whole other type of thing of light particle assimilation of vitamins and nutrients. And it's also, we have a clinical trial to back it up. I'm just going to give one more little thing and then we'll finish up, is that the placebo group also, some of them spiked in their minerals and we could not figure it out, or not minerals, but in their vitamin B levels. And we couldn't figure it out. And I was talking with a doctor friend, or with a lawyer friend of mine, and he started laughing and said, what I had done is taken flour and used that as my placebo, but I put it in real amulets that had been treated. And so he said, do you realize that flour has to be vitamin B enriched? And so even just that, and he said, but it's homeopathic levels that they put it in. So basically that was still also advancing. So come by the booth and we can talk about light particle assimilation and how it could possibly help you. We also do it with women's hormones. We also do it with thyroid medications. We can do it with various other things. So again, heart chakra, that's where we're all coming from in Trivortex technology. And when you think about Trivortex technology, please come from your heart and receive back and forth. And to me, that is really going to be the real true change in the world, is when we all start coming, or at least some of us, start coming from our heart. Thank you very much.